Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning again as we gather on this fifth Sunday after Epiphany to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just have one announcement that I'd like to apprise you of, primarily those who are deacons and elders, new deacons and elders. We will be having after worship on Sunday, February the 20th, a time to kind of equate new elders and new deacons with what it means to be a church officer. So that will probably take place again on February 20th after church. If you can't make it at that time and would still like to avail yourself of that kind of introduction to what it means to be a church officer, you can see me, and we'll make sure that you are able to take that brief introduction. So that is going to be on February the 20th. Again, I'd ask everyone to please make sure that they not only read their bulletin, but also go to our church webpage. The webpage is where we put most of the pertinent information, all pertinent information that you need as we seek to connect with our friends and members here at Alney Presbyterian Church. So please go to our webpage and make sure you also go to our Facebook page so that you can stay abreast of all that is happening here at Alney Presbyterian Church.
Since I'm the teacher, the children will be dismissed at the conclusion of our scripture reading. This morning's scripture reading comes from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, which can be found in your pew Bible on page 591 and also in your bulletin. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphim to me, having in his hand a burning coal which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin forgiven." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." This is the word of the Lord. Now the children are dismissed.
It's good seeing you all here this morning. I know you had to brave the cold to be here, but it's good to see you. Coming to worship is no routine affair, so not only is it good to see you, but I'd like to take this opportunity to commend you all this morning as well. To commend you all because coming to worship is, again, a dangerous thing. It is dangerous to be here in this place on Sunday mornings. It is always dangerous whenever we gather as God's people. The writer Ann Dillard believes that whenever we come together, we must not know the power that we invoke when we gather together on Sunday mornings. She says that churches are like children playing with dynamite. We should all be wearing crash helmets and life preservers and lashed to our pews. She's right, of course. Worship is dangerous. It's dangerous because the power that we invoke is the power of the Almighty God, God's self. The power of an all-inspiring God, maker of heaven and earth and everything in it. That's the power that we invoke. I know we often try to whittle God down to size. We do our best to make God safe and predictable and user-friendly. But God is anything but that. God is anything but safe. God is anything but predictable. God is anything but manageable. God is holy. And it is always dangerous to be in the presence of a holy God. I know some people who don't come to church for that very reason, not because they don't believe, but they don't come to church because they know that God is a holy God. God is a God who is not to be trifled with. God is a God that is not to be played with. God is a God that is not to be taken lightly. Because God is holy. I know you didn't come here this morning thinking that you were in danger. In fact, I suspect you came here because you find this place to be a true sanctuary, a refuge from the dangers and threats of an uncertain and often hostile world. A world that beats us up pretty badly during the rest of the week, a world where we experience all kinds of disappointments, all kinds of setbacks, all kinds of threats, all kinds of worries. You come here this morning perhaps seeking comfort and solace, and maybe, just maybe, you hope to capture a small glimpse of God in something that is said or done. And all of that's okay, but regardless of what you have come here for this morning, worship is about God. Not a God that we can domesticate, not a God we can use for our own purposes, but a God who is wholly other than us, a God who is high and lifted up, a God who is beyond our ability to comprehend, a God who is holy. Holy, holy. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a holy God. Sometimes it's when we gather, we get that sense of God's awesome, holy presence. When I was a young soldier stationed in Europe, I used to love to go to some of the old churches. They don't build churches like that anymore, but I loved to go to the old churches, some of the old cathedrals, and would be in a sense of awe whenever you would walk into one, because you just felt that God's presence, a presence of a holy God. I remember walking into St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. And its high arches, the architecture, the inside architecture, everything about it said, holy, holy, you're worshiping a holy God. The temple in Jerusalem, of course, was the holiest place in the world, especially the Holy of Holies. the inner sanctum where God's very presence was said to dwell. Not everyone or anyone could enter the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies, and he could only enter one day out of the year, but it was dangerous. When the high priest went in, he had to wear special bells on his robes that jingled when he moved. And as long as people could hear the bells jinging as the high priest moved around, they knew that he was all right. But if they couldn't hear the bells, they knew something was wrong, because God is a holy God, and it's dangerous to be in the presence of a holy God. We know that from reading the Bible in various places, that you didn't approach God with a kind of casualness, that you had to be very careful about how you approach God. Moses is told to take off his shoes because he's on holy ground. You can't get too close to God. You can't look upon God, gaze upon God and live. God is holy, and so you have to be careful about how you approach God. You can't approach God in any old kind of way, because God is holy. That's what the prophet Isaiah knows very well in our text this morning. Isaiah is able to see something that few of us human beings are able to see. He is able to see a vision of the holy God high and lifted up in the temple. Can you imagine that? Could you imagine coming to church this morning, sitting down in your pew, and suddenly the whole place begins to shake? Suddenly the place is filled up with smoke. Suddenly the veil separating God's dimension from our dimension is ripped asunder, and you're able to capture a glimpse of the holy God high and lifted up on his throne. Wouldn't that be an awesome experience? A glorious experience, a wonderful experience that many of us would like to have, to see God in his throne, see God in this place, to see God high and lifted up. But Isaiah isn't overwhelmed with joy about what he sees. Instead, he is filled with fear and terror, because he realizes that he is in the presence of a holy God. The whole scene, of course, is terrifying when you stop to think about it. Not only does the prophet see God's robe filling the whole of the heavenly temple, but he sees the seraphim, the burning ones. That's what seraphim means. These terrifying creatures with multiple sets of wings, they're flying back and forth before the heavenly throne, and they are saying, "Holy, holy, holy." I used to think they were just offering God praise, which is what they do constantly. But they are doing more than just praising God. They're giving a word of warning. Be careful. You're on holy ground. You are before a holy God. Holy, holy, holy. Watch your step. Watch what you're doing. You're in the presence of a holy God. And it's dangerous to be in the presence of a holy God. Every so often when I come into the church building, I'll forget that the alarm is on, or I might put in the wrong code in the alarm, and I'll get halfway down the hall, and all of a sudden this booming noise starts, and there's a booming voice. It says, "Warning! Warning, you are trespassing! Warning! Leave immediately!" And that's what these burning ones, the seraphim, are doing as they fly back and forth across the throne. They are reminding everyone that God is a holy God. Be careful how you proceed. Don't get too close. God is beyond us. God is wholly different from us. God is over and against us. God is transcendent. God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. God is all-knowing. God is all-loving. God is all-merciful. God is everything that we are not. And you can't approach God in just any kind of way. And so again, let me commend you this morning for being in this dangerous place. Being in the presence of a holy God is dangerous, not just because God is waiting to get us. That's the way some people understand it. God is waiting to get us if we mess up, if we do something wrong, but that's not what makes being in this place so dangerous this morning. But it is dangerous because being in the presence of a holy God exposes us for who we truly are as broken and sinful human beings. Again, it's not just because of the things we do. It's not just because of the individual sins we commit. We all commit sins. We all do things that we know we shouldn't. We all, as we said earlier, fall short of the glory of God. But that's not the point. It's not just our sins that we commit. It's the fact that there is a gulf, a broad gulf that is between us and God. God is wholly other. God is different from us. God is over and against us. God is holy. William Willimon says that being in the presence of God is like a mirror of truth and self-knowledge that you are made to gaze upon. He says there, in the presence of God, you see reflected every moment of your life, every secret thought, all the good little things you have done for bad little reasons, the way you live every second for your life, for yourself alone. And Willimon wonders who in the world could be made to look upon that mirror, even for an instant. Who could endure it? None of us, of course, none of us could endure it. None of us could stand to be long in the holy presence of God. I think the prophet Isaiah speaks for all of us when he says, "Woe is me! I am unclean. I am a man of unclean lips." It's not just me, but I come from a people who are unclean. I come from a people of unclean lips. I come from a sinful people. Woe is me. And that's true for all of us. That's why we say a prayer of confession every Sunday when we gather. We say a prayer of confession not to beat up on ourselves, but we say it because here, before the searing presence of the majestic and holy God, we are moved both by humility and honesty. Indeed, we are not just moved by true humility and honesty, but that's all we have left before the holiness of God, humility and honesty. Out there in the world, of course, out there where we don't have the mirror of God's holiness before us, we can get away with just about anything. We can deceive ourselves. We can fool ourselves into believing that we're all good, decent, loving, and forgiving people. That we're all kind people, understanding people, compassionate people, loving people, and many of us are, relatively speaking. But we can't get away with that here. We can't get away with that in this place, in God's, as God's holiness hovers before us. We can't get away with having ourselves exposed for who we really are. Out there in the world, we can do all kinds of things to run away from our sinfulness, from our brokenness, from how we fall short of what God has called us to be. Out there in the world, we can burn books that we don't like. We can prevent teachers from teaching our children about the shameful moments of our past. We can fail to confront the places deep down inside of our hearts where we fall short of the glory of God. We can even pretend that sometimes that we are God, that we can live any way we want. We can live in ways that we want as long as we're not bothering anyone else. But here in the presence of a God who is high and lifted up, all we are left with is our confession. Unclean. People who are unclean in the presence of a holy God. And that's what makes being in this place so dangerous. I'm always amazed that God, this holy God, this God that is bigger than all that we know, this God that is incomprehensible, I'm amazed that God would even take the time to engage Isaiah in conversation, and yet that's exactly what God does. You know how we are whenever we think that we are superior to someone, whenever we think that we are better than someone, we don't want them to be in our presence. We do everything we can to separate ourselves from them. But here's a holy God. Here is God sitting high and lifted up. Here is God on God's throne. And God doesn't seek to dismiss Isaiah. Instead, God engages him in conversation. And indeed gives Isaiah what he needs to be rid of his guilt and his unclean lips. We're reminded this morning that none of us are worthy. None of us are worthy to be in the presence of a holy God. None of us are worthy to stand in the searing holiness of God. But God isn't interested in our worthiness. God is interested in our availability. God is interested in our vulnerability. God is interested in us putting everything at risk in order to be close to God, in order to be able to have ourselves exposed before the holiness of God. Isaiah says he is lost in the presence of God, before the presence of the Almighty God, he is lost. Woe is me, I'm lost. Woe is me, I'm ruined. It's a dangerous thing to look upon a holy God. I'm lost. And that's what God desires of all of us when we come before the throne of God, when we come to be in the presence of God, that we be willing to be lost, that we are willing to lose all of the things that we believe give our lives meaning, all of the things that we believe has defined us, all the things that we believe has given us purpose, all the things that we sometimes try to hold on to. That we're willing to lose them in order to be in the presence of a holy God. And here's the thing. The more we draw near, the more we come to be in God's presence, the more we come to, in some ways, be like God. The more we become holier, the holier we become. The more we avail ourselves of God's grace, the more we know that we are forgiven, the more that we know that we are reconciled to God, the more that we experience God's mercy, the more loving and merciful and forgiving we become. And that's why God wants us to come, to risk everything, to come to this place, to stand in the glorious, holy presence of God. Of course, God does something else to here in this passage, something else that makes coming to worship dangerous. And that is that God is looking for people. God is in need of people. This holy God, this God who created heaven and earth, this God who's all powerful, this God needs people. God needs us. God needs you. God needs me. God needs us. This holy God needs us. God needs us to engage the world, this world that God loves. God needs us to spread the word of God's love for the world. God is looking for people to do that. And that's what God says here. Who will go? Who will go for us? And that's when Isaiah raises his hand and says, I will, send me. Remember when I was in the army, they used to say, never volunteer for anything. Never know what you're going to get. Never volunteer for anything. But in the glorious presence of God, we can volunteer. We can raise our hands. We can say, send me. Send me out into the world to be a representative of God's holiness. And to be a representative of God's holiness, to have God's holiness reverberate in our own lives. It's not about being better than other people. It's not about trying to be superior to other people. It's not about trying to be show other people that we are good and more righteous. To be sent out into the world as God's holy people is to be sent out as people of love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. God is a holy God. God is a God who is high and lifted up. And that's always dangerous. Dangerous for those of us who want to hold on to our lives. And yet the holiness of God is a willingness to give oneself for others, because that's what God does. If you wanted to see a picture of God who is holy, a picture of God high and lifted up, you can do no better than look at our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, high and lifted up on the cross. And that's God's glory. That's God's majesty. That's what makes God different from all of us. God is holy, holy, holy. In one way, it's a warning to all of us, be careful. Be careful what you want. Be careful about coming to a place like this. Be careful, because God is a holy God. If you want God's holiness to rub off on you, be careful. It could cost you your life. It could cost you everything. But that's the way that you will also find your life. That's the way that you will find the abundant, holy life that God wants to give to each and every one of us. Because God desires that we too be holy. 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 Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you this morning for this opportunity to come to this place, to come in through these doors, to enter into your sanctuary, and to be in your holy presence. Lord, give us the courage to be your messengers in the world. Help us to be the people that you have called us to be. Help us to love you with all of our heart, mind, and soul. And help us to love our neighbors. In other words, help us truly to be holy. And we ask these things in the name of the Holy One himself, our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our affirmation of faith this morning is taken from the great statement of faith. So at this time, please stand as we read our affirmation together. With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.